3. When you have the one. Restaurateur Bobby Stuckey has a popular TED Talk in which he explains the difference between service and hospitality. According to him, service is all about what you do to someone, and hospitality is all about how you make them feel. While Stuckey may have been discussing customer service in a restaurant setting, the distinction can easily be applied to executive assistants. A diligent, detail-oriented, task-focused EA provides a service. Whereas, if you take those same attributes and tack on situational awareness and compassion, then that EA is leaning into hospitality. Those EAs do not limit their thinking to just themselves, but take a broader perspective. They value every person they come into contact with and make everyone feel heard. The difference between providing a service and providing high-touch hospitality is more in the intangibles rather than technical abilities. And EAs who are imbued with those intangibles are ones Stuckey would call hospitalians. While they bear some resemblance to their corporate ancestors, the CEO secretaries of the 1950s, their attitudes could not be more different. Old-school secretaries were not of the warm and fuzzy ilk. Extremely protective of their principal's time, they were feared by everyone inside and outside the company. They had no qualms about being argumentative, and they demanded the world adhere to their very structured ways and to fit where they slotted them in their organized domain. They were gruff and short if they felt the need, and unapologetic if and when they were wrong. Granted, not every secretary ruled with such an iron fist, but there were enough who did that it was considered more of a norm than an extreme. Their principals tolerated this behavior because it was effective. CEOs were able to get their work done and not have to deal with any of the riffraff. In that sense, the word secretary is a rather appropriate title. It comes from the Latin word cicernere, which means to distinguish or set apart. That definition is an adequate description of what secretaries were originally meant to do: keep their principals set apart from the rest of the world by managing their calendars, screening their calls and visitors, and ensuring they had whatever they needed to do their jobs. In today's corporate world, the term secretary is seldom used. As the word transitioned out of use, the perspective of who that person sitting outside the CEO's office is and what their responsibilities are has transitioned too. In that evolution, CEOs discovered that EAs who were less territorial and adversarial and more respectful and friendly actually made their lives and businesses run better. This is not to say a good EA doesn't need the right hard skills. They do. They must be efficient, and they cannot let things fall through the cracks. They need to be organized, tech-savvy, and able to speak and write clearly. But their soft skills, their hospitality mindset skills, are just as important. Actually, they are slightly more important. In fact, we take a lead from restaurateur Danny Meyer, who encourages hiring according to the 51% rule. We believe a good EA has a 51-49 ratio of soft skills to hard skills. In our view, an EA who is a hospitalian and is also very good at all of the hands-on, practical, and day-to-day responsibilities of their job is one you know you can trust. You can jump off the cliff knowing they will have the communication skills, the hard skills, and the hospitality mindset to provide a safe landing for you. Communication. Communication is probably the most obvious sign of a great EA. By communication, we mean across all forms of discourse and dialogue, verbally, in written form, and even body language. When communicating with you, their principal, a great EA will first think through what you're asking before replying to you. That means when they do reply, they have options and solutions, not just questions for clarity, though they should be sure they are clear on your expectations, before they hit the reply button on an email. For example, if a principal asks their EA to put together a trip, the EA should compile as much information as possible before responding, and the response should be clear, with questions and information in numbered or bullet form. This kind of thought-through communication respects everyone's time and limits the potential for confusion. When it comes to questions, a great EA does not ask questions about things they should already know. That is, a principal should not have to tell their EA more than once that they don't want to sit next to a particular person at dinner, or that they don't want a window seat when flying. Of course, in the beginning, they will need to tell their EA everything, but not more than once or twice. Then, when the assistant does have questions to ask, they do so without going down rabbit holes or getting involved in elements that are not in their job description. Communication ESP is evident when your EA goes the extra mile to prepare you for meetings and calls. When they schedule Zoom calls, they will reference the subject of the call as well as include the full name of everyone involved. For example, Andrew Kumar and Kelly McInnes follow up from proposal sent 8/12. Additionally, in the calendar listing for the call, the EA will include notes from emails or any other content that the executive might find helpful during the meeting. When scheduling meetings with someone the principal does not know well, the EA will review the LinkedIn profile of the person or visit their website to gather relevant information, then present it in bulleted form in the calendar listing or by email. An excellent EA does not save their good communication skills for just their principal, though. They are gracious and polite to everyone, whether it is a VIP client being ushered into the office or the janitor they pass in the hall. They recognize they represent their company and their executive everywhere they go and maintain a high level of respect for everyone with whom they interact at all times. A final note on communication, which may only be tangentially related to the topic, is the way a good EA holds themselves accountable and is genuinely remorseful when they make a mistake. Naturally, you do not want someone who makes many mistakes, but to err is human, as Alexander Pope once said. Mistakes will happen. How your EA handles them is what matters. You want someone who will care about your business as much as you do, and one of the ways they will express that is in the way they handle mistakes. Being mortified, remorseful, and fixing them as soon as possible is the right way. Interestingly, a great EA will often cover for the mistakes their principals make. They'll fall on the sword for you and tell a client they made a scheduling error to deflect negative attention on their principal. That way, the person on the other end is upset with the assistant, not with the principal. Being upset with a principal could break a deal, but the same cannot be said about being upset with a principal's EA. Such a relationship can lead to an executive feeling comfortable asking for something that may fall outside the bounds of the EA's traditional responsibilities and be a task of a more personal nature. We, at ProAssisting, regularly handle such personal tasks and have noticed that they help engender us to our principals and build tighter bonds between us. In fact, many high-level EAs will easily see some personal tasks as under their purview. They actually enjoy following through on them, knowing they are being valuable in that capacity and saving their principal's time. Whether it's running an errand to pick up the dry cleaning, helping you plan your child's birthday party, or something else of that nature, ask your EA if they feel comfortable handling the job and trust they will feel empowered enough to be honest with their reply. The last two notes about mistakes are really side notes for principals. First, something we have repeatedly witnessed is that when an EA makes an honest mistake, many principals use it as an excuse to micromanage, which is almost never the right way to handle the situation. In the grand scheme of things, most mistakes can be fixed with a simple adjustment. It is better to let the mistake be part of the growth process so the EA can learn from it and become better at their job than to micromanage it, which will inhibit growth and improvement. The second and last notes are that not all mistakes are actually mistakes. Some principals perceive any deviation from perfection as a mistake, which is true only if something goes wrong. And other principals assume there is only one way to do something and doing it any other way is a mistake, which again, is not a mistake unless something goes wrong. When an EA takes a different approach to manage a situation or uses a different phrase in communication than you would, that does not mean the EA blundered. It means they are a different person than you. Spending time to explain how you would handle it or having a discussion about the difference between the two styles is counterproductive, and worse, could undermine your EA's self-confidence going forward. The same could be said regarding demanding perfection with every action. Your concerns should be, did the job get done? Is everyone satisfied? If the answer is yes to both, no mistakes happened. Hard skills. When the word secretary was used, the primary technologies supporting the EA ancestor were the telephone, a typewriter, pencil and steno pad, and a calendar pad. When the Rolodex came out as a method to organize contacts through alphabetized handwritten cards in 1956, it was considered revolutionary until the office copy machine popped up a few years later. Sometimes we look back in awe at what those secretaries were able to accomplish with so few tools, which limited their ability to develop hard skills. Now, such rudimentary tools have been replaced with an ever-expanding array of computer apps. Does a great EA need to know how every one of them works in order for you to hire them? No. They need to know how to do a mail merge, maintain calendars, send emails, write a document in a word processing program, and understand the basics of how to manipulate a spreadsheet. Anything above and beyond that can be easily learned via online tools or a class, and a great EA will be willing to learn. A good EA should be a quick study when it comes to learning new systems, and have already developed a kind of ambidexterity so that regardless of what email platform, calendar system, or word processing software the principal wants to use, the EA will have the foundational knowledge that underlies most common tech. What is more important than specific technical know-how is the way an EA uses it, their hard skills. They must be consistent about how they send out every single one of their calendar invitations, always in the same format. The way they manage digital files should be efficient and easy to navigate. Having 900 folders for 1,000 different files is neither effective nor efficient. How do they keep track of tasks and priorities? We are big proponents of using the inbox as a to-do list for what is on deck, what needs to be followed up on, what needs reminders, and so on. Also, EAs should put their principal's contact info in their VIP lists on their phones and computers so that when a text, call, or email comes in, they can leverage the notification to respond right away. Having strong hard skills means your EA is always at the ready to handle whatever curveball comes across their plate. If they know where everything is and how it all works, when that curveball comes, it will be responded to right away. It won't land on a to-do list where it festers as the EA tries to figure out how to handle it. Sometimes that means an EA uses a low-tech tool like a spiral-bound notebook on their desk to scribble notes on. Sometimes it means they are using cutting-edge new software. The specific tech utilized is not nearly as important as getting the job done. Hard skills include being able to organize and manage their physical space, as well as records and documents on a computer. It means having systems set up so nothing is forgotten or lost. The proverbial cracks must remain sealed so nothing slips through. Being neurotic about details and concerned with timing are also included in the hard skills department. Knowing what time your principal's plane is expected to land, being aware of how long it usually takes to meet a car in the pickup lane versus renting one, checking Google Maps to determine typical traffic patterns for that city at that hour, and then making dinner reservations in accordance with all of that information is the kind of time awareness we're talking about here. These hard skills get the actual work done, and they support both the communication skills and the hospitality mindset of a great EA. Hospitality mindset. We started this chapter discussing Bobby Stuckey's ideas about hospitality and hospitalians because we think the key essential ingredient for a great EA is what we call high-touch hospitality skills. If an executive is to achieve their highest functionality and optimum business results, settling for anything less just will not do. That service mindset is what will inspire your EA to use their superpowers and do things like refuse to schedule a budget meeting in the afternoon after you have a luncheon scheduled at an Italian restaurant because they know pasta makes you sleepy. Being a hospitalian means they will know not only when to distract and divert people who are potential time wasters, but how to do it with panache and ease so they do not mind. Equally, they'll know when it is beneficial to grant access to you. That mindset will help them build healthy, respectful relationships with every member of your organization and anyone who enters your office. In other words, a hospitalian has situational awareness and takes action on it. That awareness extends to you, too. They will know that they shouldn't pounce on you the second you enter your workspace with a laundry list of questions and expectations when you are late because of a traffic jam, or worse, immediately usher in a demanding yet well-paying client. They will give you the space you need to decompress while ensuring the waiting client is comfortable and feels important and valued. Providing such high-touch hospitality means your EA is proactive. Often, when speaking about being reactive versus proactive, people are talking about problem-solving either after the problem has hit, reactive, or finding solutions for potential problems before they arise, proactive. However, when it comes to hospitality, your EA is proactive not just in the sense of protecting you from problems, but in the sense of having everyone's best interests in mind. Should an appointment get canceled, leaving you with an unexpected opening in your schedule, they will reach out to someone who has been struggling to find a time that works to see you. They'll wish everyone a happy birthday on the day of their birthday, not just on Happy Birthday Tuesday or whenever else it is you celebrate special days in your company. They will know to call ahead to restaurants to be sure they have vegan options if that is important to you or your clients. They'll anticipate your needs the way a good waiter will. When a good waiter looks over the reservation list for the evening and sees a particular customer is coming in with his wife, a customer who always orders the bone-in filet, that waiter will let the kitchen know to put one on hold 2 hours before the customer arrives to be sure they do not run out. That's the kind of service your Hospitalian EA can provide for you. When the hospitality mindset is perfected, a kind of corporate magic happens. No one can quite put their finger on why, but everyone's game is elevated. There is a flow from assistant to executive, assistant to direct reports, to clients, to prospects, vendors, and everyone else. Good EAs know that, which is why they treat the mailroom people with as much respect and value as they do the number one client of the company. In return, everyone is willing to work with them, to accommodate them. You will get better results from your EA, and the company will get better performance out of everyone. And let's not forget the invaluable velvet no that we spoke about in Chapter 1. Assistants have to say no all the time. The most common scenario is when someone from outside the company wants to schedule time with the CEO, usually to do something like sell a very expensive product or service. The salesperson knows that a big sale will not happen unless the CEO signs off on it, so they try to work backward and begin with the CEO rather than someone at a lower level. A good EA will ask the salesperson questions that will ultimately save everyone time and make the salesperson feel respected. They'll say something like, "Tell me a little more about this. What are you trying to do? What's your objective? Because the more you tell me, the better I can help you navigate the system here." Then, armed with that information, the EA will connect the salesperson with the right in-house team member who might have a problem the product or service could solve. They may even go one step further and invite the salesperson to let the point person know that the EA referred them. The EA can even offer to act as a liaison and follow up if the point person does not respond in a timely manner. This kind of behavior is the opposite of what used to happen back in the day when secretaries were also the executives' guard dogs. People feared them. Secretaries were not afraid to be argumentative. They were very structured with what fell under their purview and pretty much ruled who went in and out of their principal's door with an iron fist. A sharp no was perfectly acceptable then. But times have changed. Interestingly, Ethan experienced that change when working for the executive at the advertising agency we spoke about in the last chapter. During his tenure with that company, the CEO decided women are smarter than men and that they worked harder, so he replaced several male key executives with females when he himself decided to step back. Ethan's principal was passed over for a higher position. After the new executives were in place and Ethan had his first review with his new female principal, he was told, "You know, you're not suffering fools lightly." She admitted she did not either, and then explained why they both needed to. The conversation took place in the late 2000s, when the corporate world was experiencing a shift in culture as millennials were filling more positions. The younger professionals coming in were not trained, nor were they willing to throw elbows at each other to get things done, the way things were often handled back in the day. That review began an internal dialogue for Ethan that ultimately encouraged him to go back to his roots, to when he worked in his father's restaurant beginning around the age of 9. At that point, he consciously decided to change his demeanor and has since seen the bountiful results top-level executives get when they have an assistant who provides high-touch hospitality. Having such an approach clearly makes a difference. Just look at the businesses that value hospitality, and you can see how they truly are separate from the rest of the crowd. Consider Nordstrom or Wegmans. They are consistently rated among the top in their industry for customer service. That comes down to the things they do for their customers and the many ways in which they go above and beyond to ensure everyone feels valued. The 51-49 ratio. By now, you may agree with us that hiring for a 51-49 ratio of soft to hard skills is imperative. If you still need a little more convincing, though, think about what is involved in training both soft and hard skills. Hard skills can be taught much easier than soft skills can. You can have someone sit with a coworker to learn how to manage a calendar. You can have them watch a YouTube video to learn how to make a PowerPoint presentation. But how do you train someone to go out of their way to learn a potential client's dietary restrictions before they make dinner reservations for the two of you? How do you teach someone to treat the janitor with as much respect as they treat your spouse? Those service-minded hospitality skills are less tangible, hence harder to teach. Not impossible, but definitely harder. To a certain extent, soft skills can be faked. But remember, people can hear when someone is rolling their eyes on the other end of a phone. If your EA can make everyone who meets them feel important, if they can negotiate a compromise where both sides come out thinking they are the winner, when they can settle a frazzled client enough that you easily close the deal, then they have the real skills. No one can fake that. Meanwhile, everyone will remember what it is like to be in the presence of your EA, how they represent you. As Maya Angelou once said, "I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel."